stone in the eyes of him that hath it, whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. Now the word gift here also means bribe, which forces us to consider what's the difference. A bribe is really different from a gift only in that something is expected in return from the one the gift is given to, or the bribe. It's a matter of the motive of it. Why are you giving the gift? There's really just two reasons. You give gifts because you love somebody or because you expect something. It's a selfish motive, the second one. There's a purpose. There's an agenda behind it. Now, bribe seems to be the primary meaning of our text because there is a result. And in human terms, that would normally be what you would think of here. There's a prospering or an accomplishment of a desired result in our text. Bribes work seems to be the message, and we know that's true. It's in the eyes of him that hath it to give and the eyes of him to whom it's given. It's a precious thing. It's a valued thing. And it brings about a desired result. Nothing motivates a sinner like a gift, money, something. Return on investment. That's what all religion is based on. Every bit of it. This world's religion. So we know this from experience. If you want somebody to do something for you, how are you going to get them to do it? People do things for one another because they love each other. People carry out legitimate business when a service or a product is advertised for a certain amount of money and then a business transaction takes place, and there doesn't need to be any love involved in that. There rarely is. But then there are things that people want or need done for them that are not marketable in the normal way. A man may give a woman extravagant gifts for a purpose. A politician promises favors for endorsements or votes or something in return. And uniquely, politicians don't even have to use their own money to bribe people with. They'll do it with our money and get away with it. The point of our text is it works. And of course, there's a spiritual lesson in the fact that it works. Our text is powerfully illustrated in Matthew 26:14. If you'd like to turn there, Matthew 26:14. This is the essence of our text, and you know how the Word of God illustrates the Word of God. And it does so not in defining terms like a dictionary would, but in life, in action, in stories. But listen to this, Matthew 26:14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. It took very little. There's pretty much consensus on the fact that this 30 pieces of silver in our money, in the, as an equivalent to what it would be worth today, is about $600. That's what it took to betray the Son of God. They wanted something. Judas wanted something. And there's a bribe offered. They covenanted together. They offered him a certain amount to get the job done. And think about what Judas represents and how that applies to our text. he feigned love for the Son of God. He faked it. He traveled with him. He said good things. He was a trusted member of the group. He kissed him on the cheek publicly. But privately, he was the enemy. Privately, he betrayed the Lord for a bribe. And that is a perfect description of the modern day preacher. Publicly, they kiss the Lord Jesus Christ on the cheek, but privately, they betray him. Privately, they're the enemy. And what do they do it for? A bribe. They do it for money. For good standing in the world's church. If you are a member of the Catholic Church in good standing, that means you give money when they tell you to. Did you know if you're a member in good standing of the world's church, you can get your sins forgiven? Isn't that amazing? Not really, of course, but what does reality have to do with the world's church anyway? This shameful truth about sinners, that they can be bought, But that truth highlights the love of our Savior and His glorious gospel. Think of it. That which passes for a gospel in this world is based on the shameful truth of our text. And if you do enough, give enough, you can get what you want from the God of this world. If you will, God will. Remember this guy, Acts 8:18, when Simon saw, not Simon Peter, but this man named Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. The apostles were able to transfer gifts of the Holy Spirit, and only they were. He offered them money, because only the apostles were able to give that gift, to transfer those gifts. And of course, when the apostles died and everybody that they transferred those gifts died, that they transferred them to, then there's no more of those type of gifts of the Holy Spirit. So he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." And it doesn't take a lot of imagination here to think what this guy's probably thinking. Man, if I could go around doing that, people would pay me a lot of money. You know, the Lord deliberately and very specifically told his disciples, "Freely you have received, freely give." In other words, don't be selling this stuff, the power that I give you. Because that would be the tendency of our flesh. What do you think Catholic priests would do if they had that gift? You'd have to be a member of the church in good standing, wouldn't you, to get that? Of course you would. You'd have to be in very good standing with them. They're doing it now, and they don't have any power. What if they really did have some power? Thank God they don't. But he said, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee. Take your money and go to hell with it. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." You know, when you come to God for forgiveness, you can't be presumptuous about it. He might forgive you. He might forgive you. And I can tell you on the basis of the gospel, anybody that's ever come to him truly by faith, they come by faith because he gave them that faith. If they come as a mercy beggar, he'll give them mercy. There's no question about that. But don't be presumptuous about it. Don't come down and make a little decision and think God's going to do something for you. It doesn't work like that with the God of heaven, the God of this Bible. He might. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Now that's where this world's religion is right now, today. The gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. The gospel is in the other reading of our text. If you take that word as being a true gift, which is one given because of love, not for reciprocity of some kind, but because the giver loves the one to whom he gives the gift. Religion has God bribing the sinner, promising things in return for money, like God needs our money. You ever wonder how somebody could be that stupid as to think they could pay off, you know, their loved ones being in purgatory, pay them out of purgatory and things like that? What we really ought to be wondering is how we can be that stupid. But we know the answer. We're utterly insane without Christ. But they have that. They have God bribing the sinner. If you will, I will. And they themselves bribe God into blessing them with the same incentives. Money, service, allegiance, proselytizing. You know, God's running a racket. You know, it's kind of a pyramid scheme. Somebody brought you in and you got to go out and bring 10 more in. And that's how God builds his kingdom. No. This is where it's a relationship based on return on investment. It's worse than the old covenant, which is done away because it depended on us. This is worse than that. This arrangement has the sinner having the upper hand. God needs you more than you need him. It's an abomination, an absolute, utter abomination. In either sense of the word in our text, gift or bribe, again, the only difference is the motive. In either sense, there's a result. Bribes work among sinners. They get the job done. They prosper. But also, a gift, the gift of God, gets the job done. Think about it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What God gave worked, but not in the same way as bribes among sinners. He didn't get anything from us in this transaction. Nothing. Worse than nothing. Less than nothing. And I'm not saying that there was nothing in it for the Lord. But what was in it for him did not come from us. What was in it for him is a result of what he did for us. That's the difference between a bribe and a gift. It's love. And God's love always does. It prospereth on every hand. Every way it turns, it accomplishes. God gave what he did, the unspeakable gift, because of love for his sheep, and whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. God's love for his own gets the job done. His love has prospered in the thing whereto he sent it. And he said this, I will love them freely, not for something in return, not because they do something. They do what they do because I love them. He said, I will love them freely, and he has. He does. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this love is the reason for everything he's done for us. It's the same with what we do for him, as pathetic as it is. It's love, isn't it? Not because we expect something from him or think that we could buy the gift of God with our service or our money or anything about us. We don't make deals with God. It's not a question of if we will, he will. The faith that he gives to us worketh by love. It's an arrangement based on love and grace, free, sovereign grace. And it has prospered in every way. Amen. Let's pray.